You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, this is Christian Bush, and welcome to episode 12, the last episode, the cliffhanger of season one of my podcast, Geeking Out. Every episode, I invite a new person to talk about one thing that they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with their job. The only requirement is that they're totally geeking out on it, and they want to talk about it. From cosplay bowling leagues to custom pet picture speedos, from do-it-yourself tiki huts to murder mystery train rides, from spooky haunted hotel overnights to collecting vintage Beanie Babies, tell me about what you love, why you love it, how you got into it, and what makes it awesome. Each episode is presented in three chapters. In chapter one, my guest and I will have a conversation about their passion. In chapter two, we play a game I call Trade You, where my guest and I turn each other on to one thing that we've found that's cool. And in chapter three, I close the show by talking about music that I'm currently geeking out on and why. I believe that curiosity is contagious and that life is better with a soundtrack. So let the geeking begin. Chapter 1. Today's guests are Claire Bowen and Brandon Robert Young.
But there's no wrong side to get up on. No ghosts keeping me awake. Oh, honey,
Claire, you might recognize from her role as Scarlett O'Connor on the CMT Hulu hit TV series Nashville. Growing up in rural Australia, Claire worked on stage and screen before landing her big breakout role on Nashville. In addition to acting, Claire is an accomplished singer-songwriter who brings a unique joy and spirit to her own music. You should also know that she was diagnosed with cancer at 4 years old and spent a childhood in and out of hospitals. Claire's husband and musical partner, Brandon, is a remarkably talented guitarist and singer. He moved to Nashville in 2000 with a guitar he didn't yet know how to play. He represents, in many ways, the country singer-songwriter's dream, having spent years paying his dues and learning his craft. And with Claire, he's found his creative and life partner. Claire and Brandon are currently performing as an opening act on Sugarland's Still the Same tour, and I took the opportunity before a show to get to know them both a little better and deep dive into her dark side.
Oh my gosh. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
I am so excited that you're here and that you guys have agreed to do this. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is you need to introduce yourselves, because you know the rules of the podcast are, I want to know what you're geeking out on that has nothing to do with your job. So first, tell everyone who you are, where we are, and what your job is.
My name's Claire Bowen, and we are sitting on the beautiful bus of the beautiful Christian Bush, one half of Sugarland, and my job is...
Where are we in the world today?
Are we Rapid City right now?
I think so. That's yeah, South Dakota.
Yeah, it happens on...
We're near Mount Rushmore.
We are near, okay. Yes.
We're Mount Rushmore adjacent.
Adjacent, yes.
My job is to sing and tell stories. And this has been the most wonderful tour to be on because it's so easy. It's just me and my sweet husband, Mr. Brandon Robert Young here. And my job is basically to show up, sing, and not suck.
It's a good way to, you know, live. Just don't suck.
Yes. Okay, so your job is in the entertainment business, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
I would also add that you're an actor, right?
Yes.
And Brandon, do you act? Is that something that you do?
Well, I kind of feel like I've been acting since I moved to Nashville pretending to be a musician.
That's everybody's insecurity.
But
he's actually very good.
So
there have been a couple of projects that haven't come out yet that I've nudged him into, and he's done a very, very good job as an actor, storyteller.
Awesome. So you understand the rules that what you're obsessed with can have nothing to do with singing or acting or any of that.
Precisely.
Okay. So I kind of know what's coming, but tell me, what are you geeking out on?
I grew up in a children's hospital, and I guess that has probably prompted this, but I'm fascinated with medical history and just the function of the human body and anatomy in general. I think medicine, like the way it's developed, is incredible. And going back to like from the ancient Egyptians, that kind of that far back in history, and the way things have been lost and found again. Like the Egyptians knew that washing your hands was a good idea, and they knew that germs existed. They didn't know how to deal with them, but it was like Victorian times, I think, where germs were still not a thing. And there was one doctor, oh gosh, I can't remember his name, he insisted that, and this is, I could probably try and find it, he absolutely insisted that people should wash their hands, and surgeons thought that he was insane because they didn't believe in germs yet. This is like, I think, 1818, I think he was born. Ignaz Semmelweis. He was this outlandish idea that doctors should wash their hands, and he was commended to a mental institution because people thought he was just nuts. And it's something common practice now in medicine.
Yeah. So,
sorry. I geeked out.
This is awesome. I've never heard of this. So, how does this manifest? Like, in your day?
I can tell you how it manifests in her day.
How does it manifest in her day?
Rule number one, Christian, don't look at her Instagram, because there are multiple medical images that will pop up.
The ones that I follow.
At any given time, she follows all of these different...
I other people to that. I don't
look.
Tell me about some of the ones you follow.
Well, there are a couple who are morticians. There are a couple who are followed by a lot of medical students. What is that book called? I can't remember the name of the book, but it's all about... Oh, it's called The Butchering Art. It's about the history of human dissection and the job of a mortician like throughout the ages. It's quite fascinating, and just the way disease moves through the body. And I'm not, those things don't gross me out. I don't have a gag reflex when it comes to blood. My fight or flight instinct, which my doctor says I apparently live in all the time, fantastic. I'm a fight person, so I'll go towards something instinctively that maybe other people couldn't handle visually or mentally, or and that's a good thing and a bad thing, because I don't know. I figure if you can stand to look at somebody who really needs your help, if they have like a compound fracture, or if you know their symptoms or something that someone else might not recognize, like people who are about to have a stroke, there are certain ways that you recognize that, and not everybody knows them. If you can handle that kind of environment and situation, then you might as well learn about it so that you can help people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think a lot of your level of comfort in those types of environments is because you grew up in a children's hospital. You grew up around kids who were as sick as you were or sicker, and a lot of them didn't make it, and you were exposed to, you know, a lot of scenarios that a four-year-old never would have seen.
Yeah. Have you ever seen anybody pass out when you didn't?
Oh, you mean like other people passing out?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Is there no level that can freak you out? Like,
if it's a person, like somebody that you know and love, I mean, even then, I mean, my brother was in a really terrible car accident, and he's okay. It was right before he was diagnosed with cancer, actually, and I think the car accident is what jolted his system into shock, which made the cancer kind of weird to say, but thank goodness we started to see the symptoms of it, because my brother and I both had it, different kinds, and our bodies are very good at suppressing symptoms for some reason. So we were both diagnosed in very, very late stages of our illnesses. Anyway, he had this car accident, totally like destroyed mum's car, and it was just this old man who drove out in front of him, and Tim was going down the freeway, so the car was like, it looked like no one could possibly have survived it. Timothy did, thank the sweet Lord in heaven. And Dad pulled up a photo of the car wreck, like the photos from the insurance company that the police took, and it is a mess. And poor mum, Dad didn't mean to show it to her, but she walked past his computer, took one look, and just passed out. So that's, it's a
your mom passed out.
Yeah, oh. And I was in the other room, and Dad's Claire, kind of, and for him seeing her in that way was, you know, he was so good, but she's his person, you know, so he was really
freaked out,
shaky, right? and I, like we all were, but if you can be, and so far it's worked, if you can be clear-headed in a situation like that, not to say I'm any kind of better than anybody else or nothing like that, but my mind works medically at the same time as working emotionally, so I can see Dad's in distress and Mum is too, and she was gonna wake up. We just needed to get a cold towel and let her sit there for a minute and tell her it was all right and wait it out. And poor, it's hard when you're watching somebody that you love go through something traumatic, and that's something that's often forgotten. People get sick, but they're the people who take care of the people who are sick.
Yeah.
And they often get sort of forgotten. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't really. My grandmother died in my arms when I was about 11 years old. My dad was there too. And it's actually quite, I wish that we understood a little bit more about how we depart from the human body and how it's actually just like being born, because everyone talks about birth. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, nobody wants to be around when somebody dies. Exactly. But everybody wants to be there to celebrate the baby, right?
Yeah, but if somebody in our family dies, I'm the first person they call, because there are certain things that have got to happen with, you know, bodies.
They call you?
Yeah. Just because they know it doesn't frighten me. And they're, you know, it's really hard to... You said you wanted to go deep. It is really difficult to get somebody's eyes to stay closed if you don't close them, like, straight away. And dead bodies do very... They move, they groan, they, you know, the intestines roll. You can see them moving, and they're gone. Like, the person is... They do hang about in the room for a bit. You know, they're there, and they're listening, and they're watching. So hearing is the last thing, usually, to go. I think that's been proven, but I believe it. And if somebody you're with passes away, speaking with them is one of the most beautiful things that you can do, because they really can still hear you. But it's just like, you know, just like somebody's there to catch a baby, you hope.
So you feel like a midwife for people who are passing away?
I would actually...
If there's such a job?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like a hospice job?
One of the things I want to do in my life, I really would like to become a midwife, and I'd really like to become an end-of-life doula, if you will. Kind of like an end-of-life
coach. That's awesome.
Coach.
Yeah, you should find out what the name of that is, or make one up.
Well, people say end-of-life coach, end-of-life doula. Like, doula is like a birth coach, so it's... There's this beautiful story. There are two sailors standing on a dock, and the young sailor, they're farewelling a boat, and the young sailor asks the older sailor about passing away, and what he couldn't understand it and being very afraid to die alone. And the answer is nobody dies alone. The older sailor says, well, you see how that ship is disappearing across along the horizon, and we've stood here waving at it, you know, waving our loved ones goodbye. Over that horizon where we can't see, there are other people, and they're not waving. They've got their arms outstretched, so they can't see us, and we can't see them, but we know that they're there. And when that ship reaches the point where we can't see it anymore, it goes into the realm of the people who can see it, and nobody's ever really alone at the end.
Well, that's a beautiful thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Is that something that hangs out in your brain when you are looking at dissections? I mean, let's back up for a second.
Sorry.
There's something super strangely exciting about fairy, diminutive, beautiful voice, blonde hair Claire Bowen, obsessed with, like, a skull half cracked open, the guts folded open somewhere. Like, that's kind of like, I would have never thought that girl was into that thing. But that's also one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, is that I think that that's awesome because it weirdly sounds like it gives people permission to be that.
Oh, thank you.
But have you been to a cadaver lab?
No, I really wanted to take systemic anatomy when I was at university, but the timetables didn't line up with my Bachelor of Creative Arts, which I'm not the most useful person in the world. my soon-to-be sister-in-law is a doctor, and we have the most amazing conversations, and actually, like, we send pictures back and forth of, like, amazing medical discoveries. Like, there is a man in the 60s who performed, I can't remember how old he was, I think he was only almost 30 maybe, stuck in Alaska with appendicitis and performed his own appendectomy on himself. Yeah, crazy.
Could you do that?
I have a very high pain threshold, so I've never, I don't know.
She could definitely stitch herself closed. There's no question.
I've had a lot of
surgery.
Could
definitely stitch herself closed.
Poor Brandon, he saw me looking, he went to, I was like, ooh, look at this, and it was like like kittens and puppies or something, and I scrolled too far down. Like,
yeah, don't look at the Instagram.
open brain case.
Avert your eyes, Christian.
Open brain case? Did you just say that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, they were. It was an autopsy of a woman who had had a massive aneurysm, and they were basically looking at the cross section of the brain and what an aneurysm does. It's not like a sick obsession. I find it truly fascinating, and I would have liked to have been a doctor, but I can't count. I have some cognitive things from my experimental chemotherapy, so I can't tell left from right very well, and I can't count. It's really hard to tell the time on an analog clock. We were talking about that the other day. So there are some things that I have a photographic memory, but it's broken, so it reverses things. So I would be a dreadful. I'd be the one to take the wrong leg off. So no, it's better that I do what I do. No, I just find it fascinating. I think, like, my surgery, the biggest one that I had was a 10-hour total. I suppose, I don't know what the technical term for it. I suppose it's like an evisceration where they had to take. They took my entire. Everything in my abdominal cavity out. They sliced me in half from my belly button to my spine, on my side on a table, put everything in a bucket or a basin. I'm sure there's a better word for that than that. Took away all the cancer, cauterized a lot of stuff, so there's a lot missing. Put it all back in, filled my body cavity full of chemo wash, sealed me up, rolled me around for a bit, and, like, you know, they do the swish thing, and then suctioned it all out and sewed me up again. And then I had a seizure, and my stitches, it was bad. So the one thing that is kind of difficult, not difficult to look at, but I think I had to get over it, was disembowelment, like when, yes, guts outside the body, and throat stuff, because I had tubes coming out of my neck for the longest time when I was a kid. But it is fascinating. Even, I don't know, I think maybe living in a body that is half there and has so many, like, if I go to a new doctor, they're really intrigued by, like, how do you even walk straight? Because everything's missing there. But I don't know. It all kind of feeds into wanting to be able to help people. And I can't be a doctor, but I can, I don't know, I could stitch somebody up if I learned how to suture and all that kind of stuff. And working with animals, you kind of end up to your armpit in cow sometimes, and it's horrible when they squeeze trying to check where a calf is or something.
Up to your armpit in cow.
Yeah.
Cow. Yeah.
I love cows.
Right.
I would.
Let's speak about that for a second. You love cows?
Yeah, I used to muster cattle before Nashville, before acting, really, I suppose, and on horseback, and I just really like cows.
And horses. And horses. And every other just, animal, probably.
Yeah. I really don't like ticks. They're probably the only animal that I don't.
That's a bug.
Yeah. Even those house centipede things, they eat spiders. They're all right.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, sorry.
I love that. This is the most fascinating thing ever. Would you consider ever being an EMR person, like an emergency responder?
Because
you have this lack of fear of the body being broken?
I would love to. That would be wonderful. I'm very small and not particularly strong, but even just being able to sit with somebody who's...
Yeah, a calm voice.
Yeah.
Is very powerful.
That's one thing.
In tragic situations.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that. You just gave me another
life goal. Thank here you. Comes some fun questions. You ready?
Yeah.
If, because this is something that you are truly obsessed with, right? Mm-hmm. Would you get a tattoo of anything like this? Or do you already have one?
I talked to Brandon about this the other day, and I was saying when we're really old, maybe we'd get tattoos or something, but
yeah.
I'm covered in scars, and I really love them. And that's, you know...
Maybe that's it.
And they're quite substantial, but I love every one of them, and I can't imagine looking at myself and not seeing them. So my scars are kind of like maybe the equivalent of a tattoo. I think tattoos are absolutely beautiful.
I was just like, you know, like a tattoo of a brain skull open. Or a... I don't know. Where's the line? My question is, when you have an obsession like this, mm-hmm. right, and I get to talk to people about this, what they're passionate about, where's the line where you've gone too far? Like, you have to tell yourself, hey, when I'm printing out these things from Instagram and posting them on my wall so I can just look at them all the time, is that the line? Like, where's the line for you?
I don't watch horror films. I think part of, because I've seen, like Brandon said, and this does not make me any better or worse than anybody else or any more learned or any of that stuff. It just is my experience. I grew up watching children, like somebody passed away every single day in my ward, and I don't know of anybody else in my ward who got out. I've had spinal taps, and I've woken up during surgeries, and I've had seizures, and I've seen my own insides, and the glorification of horror pisses me off. It really ticks me off, and there is so much that is really horrific about life that doesn't necessarily have to be blood exploding in your face, which has also happened to me. It was really gross. It was my own blood, thankfully, but... stepped on a 6-inch nail and it went through an artery in my foot. And I was like, what is that? Because I can't feel my feet properly because I've got neuropathy. So I was like 9 and it like spurted into my face. Anyway, but I don't know. I don't post those things on my, like I would never repost something that could,
right.
Because
you're just looking at it.
Yeah. My followers and like people who follow me on social media, I don't even subject Brandon to that. I don't let him look at things like you can't unsee things. Mm-mm. But when,
oh, you cannot.
No, I'm so sorry, baby.
I love that you're so comfortable with it though.
Well, I think you've got to be sensible about it. The line for me is when people turn it into acting. Yeah, they're fascinated with horror.
Okay, so you don't like horror films, but if you had to, or if you were asked, or if it was a lot, you know, like a big budget movie, would you act in a horror film?
I'm not sure. It would depend on the script. I was in a film a long time ago where my character died, and my mother and a couple of, actually my best friend and my mother, saw the part where I was being transported in this wheelbarrow to be disposed of, and it was awful. And I don't, I think there's I respect that this is the horror genre, and one of my hobbies used to be watching B-grade horror films when I was very young, and just probably the beginning of like seeing what I could see and be okay. I don't know, because part of my childhood was seeing some quite confronting things. So wondering, I went through a lot of life thinking there might have been something wrong with my brain because I didn't respond to traumas that were right in front of me in a panicked way. I went to work on them and made sure people were okay. But with horror films, the more I watched, the more it just made me angry that somebody would glorify people being torn apart. And that, yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure. I think a thriller is much more entertaining. It's just like the illusion of nudity is so much more interesting.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. A dress that goes below the knee.
Exactly.
Holds it down. Ooh, ankles.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Chapter 2. In every episode of Geeking Out, I see if I can trade one thing that I've discovered recently with one thing that my guest has discovered. Anything is admissible in this friendly exchange I call Trade You.
So, Chapter 2. This is a little game I call Trade You.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll go first. I'm going to turn you on to something that I'm just kind of into right now, and you can take it or leave it. And then in return, you will turn me on to something that you're totally into right now.
Okay.
I have had a particular obsession with BBC television.
Okay.
It's been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. I have a deep relationship with myself watching. I mean, I went from Doctor Who to Torchwood to deep, deep, deep Strange. And right now, because of the way they're marketing their stuff, I am currently into a TV show called Jamestown.
Oh, boy.
And Jamestown was the first settlement in Virginia. And apparently, first of all, forgive me for what I'm about to do to you. But the setup is, this is a BBC America show.
Okay.
About, first of all, let's get the meta right.
Sure, sure.
This is hilarious.
Yep.
Staging
the first settlement of people from Britain into America.
Right.
And the first, that when they came over, they were all men, right?
Yep.
And so they've been there for months, like 12 months, 18 months, something like that. They've set up camp. They've now got a wall, and they've got places that they live. And then suddenly they've all written back, because apparently you can, there were ships going back and forth, and asked for women.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the story of the boat docks, and the first women get off, and many of them right. have been requested
right.
as wives.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
And then the Native American stuff, and then the actual story of Jamestown, sure. and hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Right? Yes. I know that it might be too much because you act things and you're translating America for her, right?
Pretty much,
and,
yeah.
And this is going to be a real discussion point. I can imagine in yes. my mind that you guys are sitting up on your pillows at night and you're watching this together. Hey, honey, Christian said to do this.
Yes.
And you get halfway through and everybody's hitting the space bar. Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? What is this? These are Brits talking about America, which I think is hilarious.
Right.
That is yeah. really funny.
Yeah. And I need to it's watch super that. Serious. You is know, it? Like they're trying to make this right. And I'm watching someone else's version of history go down than,
sure.
than East Tennessee history textbook right. taught me.
Oh, exactly. Wow.
You know, and it's pretty fun.
We got to get into it.
All right.
Okay, what you got for me?
Well, gosh.
Anything will go.
All right. Well, when I was little, if I did something good, I could choose a if I wanted to buy something, if I did well in school, I'd get a little present. And the presents that I always wanted were books on stories of Aboriginal spirituality in the Dreamtime. And they range from all the different kinds of bunyips and the rainbow serpent carving out the earth and making it what it is, to how the kangaroo got his tail, why the lyrebird's tail looks all burnt, and I haven't read a book in a really long time because I've been shooting a television show that has kind of took over my life for 6 years, which I'm very grateful for. But those stories were the ones that I really, I don't know, I feel very lucky because I went to Catholic school, and Indigenous spirituality is a totally different thing to Christianity and Catholicism, but we were taught it all the same, both at home and at school. There was no, you find in a lot of religions, there is this disclusion of other people's, other cultures' beliefs, but in Australia, it is, I mean, we're from the country, so maybe it's different in the city, I don't know, but I went to a school in a very low socioeconomic area of Sydney, which is now super trendy, of course. But we were taught about the Dreamtime as well as Catholicism. And it was just the most beautiful way to be brought up, and it's part of my belief system, and it always will be. Yeah, so they're really interesting stories, if you
okay,
ever get a chance.
Okay, well, I would love to. How do I find them?
Gosh, I think...
Amazon?
A lot of books turn up on our doorstep from Amazon because I haven't had time to go to bookstores, and I much prefer going to bookstores.
And are they children's books, or are they?
There are children's books. That's where we started. Like that's actually a beautiful children's book called The Rainbow Serpent, and it's this gorgeously illustrated. I don't know. There's the story of how the mountains and the rivers came to be. Because
I love this.
Yeah, it's really wonderful, and the different tribal totems, and just Indigenous life in general, the way like before white people came and buggered everything up, it's fascinating and truly beautiful. Like, and the Australian bush, when you go there, the spirituality is like everywhere, and it can be quite a terrifying place, but in the most intriguing and beautiful way. And just the way the Aboriginals lived off the land, and their cultural base is just really beautiful. It's something that I grew up with, and when we go back to Australia, it's lovely for me to be in. I don't know. There's nothing like the Australian bush. It's a beautiful place. So it's and there is some very sad history. There is a book called Blood on the Wattle that actually documents what happened to the Aboriginals, and a lot of personal accounts from farmhands who couldn't bear what was happening. And that's a totally different side of it. But right. It's we're not taught those things enough in school. But thank God we were taught about the Dreamtime. So Dreamtime stories,
I accept.
It would be beautiful.
I'm going to totally read them. And when people start looking at them, me having kids' books on the bus, and my children are in their teens.
Blame it on Claire Bowen.
They're mine. I will claim them as my own.
Well, I love it.
Read about how the kangaroo got his tail.
How the kangaroo got his tail.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank y'all both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
You're absolutely the most interesting people ever. I've never had any of this kind of conversation with anybody like this. So thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Okay. Bye-bye.
Chapter 3, Me Geeking Out on Music. The False Ending. One of the most important building blocks of rock and roll is the thrilling feeling that you don't know what's going to happen next. The suspicion that what you're listening to or seeing live is a group of people that are playing so intensely that they might explode their amps, that the guitar player might smash his guitar, that the band will get so loud that something overwhelming, something unpredictable is going to happen. This anxiety and thrill is what makes rock bands legendary, and what draws us in as listeners and fans. Today, I want to talk about something that I'm exploring in my own recordings right now as a producer. I'm attempting to create a live moment, a moment that's recognized by the players as unplanned, so that it'll resonate with the listener as a moment where anything could happen. The rock and roll mystery. The false ending. The first time I was aware of a band sounding like they're barely being held together in a recording was The Replacements. They were famous for getting so drunk on stage that watching them try to pull it off was as entertaining as anything else they were doing. Here's their song Bastards of Young from a club in Hoboken, New Jersey called Maxwell's in 1986. Listen to how reckless it feels like this band is falling downstairs. The sun turned round, what was it to you? The next time I was exposed to this energy was in Bruce Springsteen's recording, Born in the USA. At the end, the band puts in a false ending. Now, depending on who you ask, this was planned versus this was not planned. It's as debated as if Han Solo shot first. The story goes that the E Street Band were ending the song. And they held out the last note. And at some point, Bruce just started counting back in. And then the band followed suit. It's an amazing thing to hear. Suddenly, the well-rehearsed musician is off script. The E Street Band are so talented that they read the indicators, and they were brave enough to start playing again, and confident enough to make it up as they go. Listen. Always been fascinated with this moment in this recording. I think it puts something special into the song. So this brings me to Lindsay L's album, The Project.
There's a song on the album called Wildfire. I kept encouraging the band in the studio while we were recording it to extend the ending so that Lindsay could play a guitar lead over the top of it. I tried to make sure we didn't rehearse it too much. I wanted the chaos of a band trying to communicate with their instruments. I wanted it to feel like the musicians found a wave, paddled it, and then decided to stand up and write it. Here's our false ending. So because I loved this idea so much, I asked if we could consider a false ending with a song from the new Sugarland album. The song in question is called Not the Only. It's the last song on the record. Let's listen, and I'll walk you through it. Tell me I'm all right and then say it's all gonna be okay. I think what's beautiful about this is that we do this as our first encore on tour right now, and all of the same feelings and rules apply live. I can feel the push and the pull and the release, everything. This is the moment for me every night that we play simply as a band on a stage. It's never planned what we will play or for how long. So the next time you feel the band you're listening to cross the line into the beautiful land of we don't know what's going to happen next, listen, watch with reverence, let the hair on your arm tingle, take it in. It's the promise of rock and roll that something is happening right in front of you. Let it remind you that life is not always planned out, and like the band that you love, if you take a chance and leap, something amazing might happen. I hope you enjoyed this episode and this entire season of Geeking Out. I am grateful for you sharing your time with me and all of my guests as we explore the passions of people everywhere. Are you obsessed with something amazing? Want to tell us about it? Write to us at geekingoutwithkb@gmail.com and you might be a guest on an upcoming episode. Come find out more about me and this podcast at christianbush.com, Christian with a K. Follow me at Christian Bush on Twitter, Christian Bush on Instagram, Christian Bush on Facebook, and Christian M. Bush on Snapchat. Thanks to Bobby Bones for this incredible opportunity to build this podcast, Brandon Bush for the editing and the soundtrack, Tom Tapley for audio wizardry, and Whitney Pasterick for being a great producer and making this whole thing possible. I am Christian Bush. I'm geeking out. Thank you for listening.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.